Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Hope everyone's having a great day today. This is kind of an emergency episode. I'm not going to lie to everybody. There's a lot going on right now, so I wanted to check in with everyone. Hope everyone is having a great August, and it's the end of the year, the end of the summer, I should say. Pretty much when summer's over, it's kind of the end of the year until Christmas. I hope if you're going back to school, enjoy that and all that good stuff. But a lot of news breaking. I want to actually, hold on 1 second.
Hold on, everybody. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I had to shut the door. There's a lot going on right now, so I wanted to break in with a short special episode, talk a couple of things that are going on in the world right now. First thing I want to do is, as it stands right now, I will be the host of an event with Complex Media and Jack Daniels going down this Saturday at the Discovery Green, if weather permits. I'll be hosting alongside Les, Ellie Dalla, Steak and Shrimp, whatever you want to call them, the Tontons, Orange Calderon, DJ Orange Calderon, and the incredible LaToya Luckett. So that's going down this Saturday. Check me out on Twitter at Brad Gilmore. Find out information there. And just happened. This just happened a couple days ago. Yesterday, in fact, depending on when you're listening to this, Reality Wrestling put out a press release. We announced our new streaming television home with the worldwide streaming leader in combat sports, Fight TV. Fight TV is an awesome network, streaming network like Netflix or Hulu, and it has all your favorite combat sports. You have boxing, you have MMA, and you have pro wrestling. And we're really excited to partner with the people over there at Fight TV. I want to thank good old JR Jim Ross. I want to thank Mike Weber. I want to thank everyone over there at Fight TV for making this an awesome deal for us. And you know, we're really excited. We're really excited to start our streaming network, start streaming the show, jump into the digital age, and compete with people like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, with Ring of Honor, with GFW, and I think Reality Wrestling is going to be more than just the flagship of Texas wrestling. It's going to be the front row of sports entertainment all over the world. So I'm really excited about Fight TV. Fight TV is a free app, by the way, completely free. Just go to fight.tv. Online, or you can go to Google Play App Store, type in Fight TV. It's a free app. Or you can sign in with your Facebook. It doesn't take any time at all, and you can watch all kinds of shows on there for free, most of them for free. There's pay-per-view events, and that was the other thing that we have. Christmas Chaos this year, December the 9th, Reality Wrestling will present Christmas Chaos, and it'll be our first ever pay-per-view event going down live from the World Gym Arena. Already announced, Jason David Frank, a friend of the show, Jason David Frank, will be appearing. The Green Ranger, Tommy Oliver from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, will be appearing at the show on pay-per-view. So you don't want to miss out. Don't want to get shut out, because it's going to be on like a steaming pot of neck bones. Now, can you dig that? So go get the Fight TV app right now as we're speaking. And I would very much appreciate it. And all of us at Reality of Wrestling would very much appreciate it. What else is going on? I think the reason I had to break in to here is, you know, this Saturday is Mayweather-McGregor, the monumental fight. I'll be talking with Booker T on an exclusive Heated Conversations podcast about that later on this week. But the other MMA combat sports news I just have to get to is the stuff about John Jones. For those of you who may not have heard, John Jones, John Bones Jones, could possibly be stripped of his light heavyweight championship after failing a USADA drug test from an in-competition sample taken before UFC 214. Dana White did fail that drug test. It's been confirmed by Dana White, but he still has not been formally stripped of the title. Now, this is what the UFC said about it. Let me pull up this statement. The UFC organization was notified today by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency that John Jones has a potential anti-doping policy violation stemming from an in-competition sample collected following his weigh-in on July 28, 2017. USADA, independent administrator of the UFC anti-doping policy, will handle the results management and appropriate adjudication of this case involving Jones as it relates to the UFC anti-doping policy and further UFC competition. Under the UFC anti-doping policy, this is a full and fair legal process that is afforded to all athletes before any sanctions are imposed. The California State Athletic Commission also retains jurisdiction over this matter, as the sample collection was performed the day before Jones's bout at UFC 214 in Anaheim, California, and USADA will work to ensure that the CSAC has the necessary information to determine its proper judgment of Jones's potential anti-doping violation. Additional information will be provided at the appropriate time as the process moves forward. That is from the USC. What does this mean? John Jones had a dominating victory over Daniel Cormier for that UFC championship. Was it a third round knockout? I watched that live as it was happening. John Jones was a force. John Jones has always been a force. So his extracurricular activities have always been the downfall of perhaps the greatest MMA fighter we have ever seen. So it's a shame that, you know, we're having to go through all of this yet again. Sorry, my gain got turned up there for some crazy reason. It's a shame that we're going to have to go through all this again with John Jones, you know, after his UFC 200 snafu that was once again against Daniel Cormier. We're kind of reliving it all again. Now, DC, I think, steroids or no steroids from John Jones, was going to lose that fight. Now, John Jones is once again still innocent until proven guilty. The USADA program has been known to make some, you know, some mistakes, kind of. Not really, but, you know, there's been some questionable calls from them when it comes to some of the substances and where the origins of that substance is. Now, TMZ was reporting that it was anabolic steroids. I mean, that's pretty blatant. I don't know if John Jones can use the same excuse he did last time. Last time he said he pretty much took a Viagra, or a male enhancement pill, as he called it, and that was the reason he tested hot. excuse me. I don't know if he's going to be able to use that again. This is what Daniel Cormier, the man he beat, said about this to MMAfighting.com. He said, "It's hard to find words to describe how I'm feeling right now. I'm disappointed to hear the news. It's very emotional. We as athletes are entitled to due process, and I will refrain from saying much more until I know exactly what happened. In my mind, on July 29th, I competed and I lost. I thought John Jones was the better man that day. I don't know what to think anymore. I can't believe we're going through all of this again. We will see what happens next. Thank you to all my fans who have supported me during this dark time. I love you all very much." Now, Daniel Cormier was very emotional following his loss from John Jones. He was crying on camera. He was somewhat in a sunken place, if you will. And he couldn't get back that one loss he had on his record. And John Jones beat him twice. And we all kind of thought it was ending there. John Jones's team put out a statement. Now, I'm not going to read another lengthy statement, but they said something essentially to the effect of, you know, John and I and, you know, his manager, his team, they've all worked tirelessly for the past 12 months to make sure nothing like that was in anything that John was taking, any vitamins or anything that he was taking for this fight, and they have no idea what's going on. Now, one thing everyone is right about is there is due process, right? All these fighters get to present their case and, you know, essentially in court with USADA and whatever athletic commission, state athletic commission they're in this case, California. They can plead their case and they can see where it gets them. You know, last time he was going to be suspended for 2 years, he got that down to 1 year. He and Brock Lesnar. And so maybe something like that's going to happen again. But we're going to have to figure out if this contaminated sample, if this sample that came up positive for anabolic steroids, USADA's really stringent about their testing. After someone tests positive, they have other samples that they can test and ensure that is a affirmative and it's not a false positive. And false positives happen more often than you think. And so they're going to go through the due process. But I will say, if you're going to judge a man off what he did in the past, John Jones doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to this. And we know he's done a lot of, you know, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and has defied the USADA guidelines before and the UFC anti-doping policy before. So, sorry, my phone's going off there. So we know that he is someone who has done this before. And it doesn't paint a great picture of him. You know, I mean, not to bring O.J. Simpson up, but like when you look at O.J., it's like, yeah, by the time he had that Las Vegas thing, people were like, I've seen you too many times. I'm giving you jail time. You know, and, you know, and that's kind of what I think John Jones is going to be in now, is I've seen you up here so many times. If it's not true, you're the unluckiest man alive. And I think that's what we're going to see with John Jones. I think it's positive. I think it is a positive test, and I'm a little bummed about that because I wanted to see, not only did I think John Jones was great in what he did, I wanted to see John Jones Brock Lesnar at, you know, a future UFC event, and now that's probably up in smoke. Probably the biggest money fight in UFC history, up in smoke, for the time being. So we're going to see what happens going forward. I'm sure Booker T and I will talk about this at length on Heated Conversations, but I just had to make a quick mention of it. And if true, like I talked with the 305 MVP, Montel Vontavious Porter, we talked about this briefly, and I told him, if true, this is the biggest waste of natural ability in combat sports history. And I stand by that statement wholeheartedly. The other thing is, Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas have now traded teams. The point guards are now on opposing teams. Isaiah Thomas has gone to the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James. And now Kyrie Irving is over there and with the Boston Celtics. And now it's Kyrie Irving's team. This is what he wanted. He wanted to get away from LeBron. He said, I don't want LeBron anymore, man. He's holding me back. The greatest basketball player of our generation's holding me back, man. I want my own team, man. We can't win no championships, man. Yeah, well, we'll see how it works. Boston's a great team. Boston was the one seed going into the playoffs last year with those Isaiah Thomas at the helm. This year they have somebody who's better than Isaiah Thomas. I mean, right? He's better than Isaiah Thomas. But the Cavs are interesting now. Now you have a situation where you have LeBron James, you have Isaiah Thomas, and I think Jay Crowder's over there now. They gave up a few things for him. Jay Crowder's over there. You have J.R. Smith still. You have Derrick Rose, former MVP Derrick Rose on the team. So you have two MVPs on one team, plus a guy who's a MVP caliber player in Isaiah Thomas. You have an interesting team over in Cleveland. Now, this is contract year for Isaiah Thomas, I believe, and also LeBron James and the L.A. trade rumors just won't stop. They will not stop. I'm interested to see what happens. I am. I'm interested to see how this progresses going forward. You know what? I'm going to see. Hold on one second. Let's see if this will work. I'm going to try to do a live call-in right now. Let me see. Hold on. I'm doing a live call-in. We're going to see if this guy will answer the phone. This is my basketball expert. Caldy.
Brad.
Caldy.
One of the players in this call.
Hey, what are you doing?
Do what now?
What are you doing?
I am not watching, I don't know, I'm not watching 205 Live, if that's what you're wondering.
Well, no one is. Hey, I'm doing the Brad Gilmore show right now, and I did a live call into you. I want to get your reaction to a couple things. Are you down?
Yeah, I'm down.
Hey, so what is your reaction to John Jones testing positive?
Man, it seems like the dude speaks of prophecy in like the worst possible ways, right? Because he has a tweet from July 21st about when he beat Cormier the first time, he was on roids, and, you know, what are they going to say now? And lo and behold, test positive for Toradol or something like that. And I feel bad for UFC fans, but I feel even worse for Daniel Cormier, because his entire legacy is wrapped up now in these two losses to Jon Jones, and he can easily say that he was cheated out of both of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's almost like that documentary Chasing Tyson with Evander Holyfield. You know, this is now DC's entire legacy is losing to Jon Jones, and then Jon Jones either testing positive before a fight or now after one.
Right. And the scary thing about it is that this news breaks on arguably the weirdest week for the UFC to begin with, because everybody and their mother is in Vegas right now for the Mayweather-McGregor spectacle. I'm not calling it a fight, it's a spectacle. And you have all those MMA journalists, like, hawking next to each other, and they're all kind of, like, wondering, like, what the hell just happened, right? Because the UFC could potentially lose their top two fighters, regardless of weight class, after Saturday. I mean, Jones could be gone for 4 years and off to the WWE to do God knows what. And Conor could, who knows with Conor, because he's going to make more money in this one spectacle than he did ever hopping in the octagon. So I don't know what the UFC does after here. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time to be an MMA and UFC fan. This Saturday is going to be definitely interesting to see. But it's just Jon Jones. Like, I wanted him. He had such a good comeback, you know. This guy, he looked like he was back. And Jon Jones was on the right track, you know. And then he has to go and he has to do this stupid, stupid thing. I mean, last time it was for Viagra or whatever it was, is what he said. And now this time it's for what I'm reading reports as is anabolic steroids. That can't be accidental.
No, that's definitely not accidental. But, I mean, Dana White confirmed the positive test to ESPN. I'm pretty sure, like, Jones has to submit a B sample. And if the B sample comes back positive, then, you know, it's a wrap. If that B sample comes up negative, then there's a whole another issue of coming up with, in that how in the world do you test positive for an anabolic steroid the night after, let's say, in your first post-fight sample, but you don't on the second, right? And then you get into a whole tiff between the UFC, USADA, the whole merit of testing anyway, and it's going to be a mess. So as much as it pains me to say this, because I want Jon Jones to be recognized legitimately as the greatest fighter who ever walked inside the octagon and ever did MMA, the only thing we have is the worst case scenario, which is he tests positive on the B sample and he gets banned for 4 years. Like, there's no good outcome out of this. I don't think so, because either the testing becomes flawed or the UFC becomes flawed, and, you know, Cormier could even sue, because basically you sent a man in there who was hopped up on steroids in a fight and literally almost took his head off with one hellacious left kick to the temple. Like, it's all bad, really. It's all bad.
Yeah, there are no winners in this situation whatsoever. I mean, even if he comes back negative on the sample, you know, he still is the fight is tainted no matter what, and his victory is tainted no matter what, and it just adds to the continuing legacy of letdowns by John Bones Jones.
Yeah, it's nuts, because, like you said, like, this was the story of you. This was the story going into UFC 214. Because this was supposed to happen last year, UFC 200, but it didn't because of, you know, a failed test. And now this go around, if another failed test just dumps on this, it's like, man, we went from having arguably an epic 30 for 30 to now an even more polarizing 30 for 30, because you're asking yourself, what side do you stand on? It's almost like asking yourself, do you still recognize Barry Bonds as, like, the legit home run leader, right? Because in my eyes, Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player that arrived after World War II, like, bar none, right? But I can also say that Barry Bonds probably was a Hall of Fame. He was like a legit Hall of Famer before 1998. And then after 1998, he became, you know, a very large-headed, kind of svelte, amazing power hitter, the likes of which we've never seen before, because Bonds' plate vision was second to none anyway. You add, you know, a little bit more muscle mass to him, to a frame that was basically a stick frame from like 92 to 97, you're basically creating what amounts to a superhero. You basically gave Captain America added addition to the super serum with Bonds. And I feel the same way with John Jones, man. I mean, we're talking about a guy who physically, by himself, is like a one-of-a-kind freak athlete in combat sports. We're talking somebody who has long reach, can basically keep distance from anybody else in the octagon, and can end you from a variety of ways. The things that Jones can do in that octagon, nobody else can do. And it pains me to even think, like, yo, this man's supposed to be the GOAT. Like, bar none, the GOAT. Like, it was Anderson Silva, and then you have this dude who's a freak of nature. And it's just sad. It really is.
Yeah, man. You know, it's definitely sad. But we're going to, you know, everyone gets their just due. This is America. We're going to see what happens coming up with John Jones. My other thing I want to get your quick thoughts on, Brandock, is what the original reason I FaceTimed you out of the blue after a pretty good episode of SmackDown Live was right. I wanted to ask you about the trade of all trades, I think, Kyrie and IT. I mean, did your head explode when you read this?
Not really. I mean, basically, the Cavs and Celtics traded very small, I may have a bad hip, Kyrie, for I believe the earth is flat, and if somebody asks me about a solar eclipse tomorrow, I'm going to lose my mind. Actual Kyrie. The thing about that trade that bugged me out is that Boston waived all year. They could have had Paul George. They could have had Jimmy Butler. They could have had any number of superstar, right, at their hand, because they were all those guys were on the market. And for them to end up with Kyrie and just Kyrie, it's a little bit interesting. I mean, does it make them the favorites out east? No. Does it make them does this keep them as the second best team out east? Definitely. Does it create a potential logjam for Cleveland in regards to lineups? Of course. Does it make Cleveland having the number one pick again when LeBron leaves a little bit more of a conspiracy? You betcha. Yes. But all in all, you know, it's a lateral move, right? It's a lateral move that significantly weakens Boston defensively. It gives Cleveland a bit of a strength in regards to guarding, you know, Klay Thompson and things like that in the finals. It still does nothing for them against, you know, Steph or KD in the finals. But all it is that, hey, Boston wasn't going to pay Isaiah Thomas $200 million. They just weren't. And they, Danny Ainge ended up swinging a deal that apparently made Boston happy on paper, because, you know, you at least have a guy who, your best player is not 5'9". Right? That's pretty much the interesting aspect of all this all. Because what killed Boston in the playoffs last year is that the moment Isaiah Thomas went off the floor, they had nobody who could get their own shot. And now they do. They have somebody who is a legit killer in Kyrie Irving that can get buckets at will and also is not 5'9". So you can't necessarily just, you know, abuse him in the post. You can abuse him everywhere else in terms of defense because he's still not that great a defender on ball anyway. But, again, it gives Boston a lot of firepower. They're going to score a lot of points. Cleveland's going to defend. And I can't wait till October 17th because what's game one of the NBA season?
Yeah, it's going to be Boston and Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, this is why the NBA basically took all of the notes they learned from the NFL in terms of, like, holding on to, like, public attention for a whole year. And they flipped the switch. They basically went NWO with this, right? to make a wrestling reference. They went NWO with this. They basically said, you know what? Let's make everybody pay attention to us, which is kind of nuts when you think about it, right? Because we're about to be in full football mode in 2 weeks, college and pro. And what's the number one story right now? It's not Odell Beckham getting hit last night. It's not, you know, what's going on with the Texans. It's not even what's going on with the Patriots. The number one story is the NBA. And it's August, Brad. It's August.
Man, it's wild. So let's talk about Cleveland real quick before I let you go. So Cleveland now has LeBron James. They have Isaiah Thomas. They have J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Jay Crowder, and Derrick Rose, former MVP Derrick Rose. When Cleveland faces off against Boston in the season opener, what's their starting five?
The starting five goes as follows. Isaiah Thomas, J.R. Smith, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. And it's probably going to
be Kevin Love. What am I thinking? They got Kevin Love.
Yeah. Kevin Love, who was probably sitting at home like, wait, you didn't trade me? What? Boston would love a guy like me. What did you not do that?
I'm a white guy. What the hell?
Basically. So that's going to be their lineup. You know, it's going to look like a weird bizarro circus in regards to like a funhouse mirror, if you will, in regards to what that lineup is going to look like. I'm pretty sure the matchups in terms over the season, they're going to like evolve, and I don't know what Derrick Rose still has left, but it was already a pretty interesting logjam at point guard for Cleveland with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
In the fold. Now you have Isaiah Thomas, who is legit on a contract year. Like, it's gonna be pretty interesting. The one thing that could make all this moot and useless, how is Isaiah Thomas's hip? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Isaiah Thomas fails that physical, that trade gets rescinded. Like, we are all back at square one with this. With an upset Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas still trying to get paid, and LeBron like, look, whatever you do, I don't care. I'm not going to be here next year. Find me a way to get to Houston so I can be with Beyonce.
Oh, I hope to God that happens.
Dude, I am already all on board with the wild idea of having Melo, James Harden, LeBron, and Chris Paul all in one squad. I'm that ludicrous of a fan right now.
And Beyonce owning the team?
Megan Dream. I mean, look. They just dropped what $88 million on that Bel Air mansion,
mm-hmm.
and they pay like $250,000 a month for like on the mortgage. Telling you, man.
It can happen.
They brag different, man.
They brag different, man. Well, Brandoc, I think we're gonna have to see what happens in this NBA season. It's very interesting. Also, real quick, Bobby Roode on SmackDown Live. Isn't that pretty sweet?
It's pretty glorious, if you ask me.
It's pretty glorious. So, hey, I appreciate you being available at a short notice.
Hey, man, anytime, man. You know this.
All right, man. Well, you take care.
All right, now.
All right. Well, that was Brandoc. Brandoc came in, blessed us with some gems. Brandon Caldwell, the Houston President, Day in a Dream, part of the Blue Check Boys. So that's kind of I agree with him on a lot of those points. It's interesting. Derrick Rose coming off the bench. We're going to see what he has to offer in this NBA season. Hey, if you didn't check it out, check out my SummerSlam review, episode 137, I do believe. This is 138 of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Sorry I took that little two-week siesta, if you will. There was a lot going on with that Fight TV deal with Booker and I, and then had to go on vacation with my lovely lady Farrah, celebrate her birthday. Happy birthday again, baby. And so there's a lot going on, but I'm back. I'm back on a weekly basis, maybe even a couple times a week. Going to do some stuff with Title Match Wrestling. If you didn't see that video I put up, go check out TitleMatchWrestling.com right now. So, hey, this is Brad Gilmore, Brad Gilmore Show, On Demand. We out.